As we continue in this Lenten series, we look to Scripture and the strength that is offered to us through our faith in Jesus Christ to consider what we're supposed to do with the fear that so often finds us in our lives. So each week we are looking at a specific type of fear along with a person in Scripture who struggled with that fear at a time in their life. This week we consider the fear of failure, and Simon Peter will be our companion that leads us on today's journey. There are two realities that I want us to explore as we look at Peter and consider the fear of failure today. And the first one is that everyone fails. If you're doubting this, let's just take a brief poll. How many people here today have ever failed before in their life? Come on, raise it up. Almost 100%, all right. Not only does everyone fail, but the second reality is one that I think is really important for us to remember during those times that we wrestle with failure. Failure is not the end. So let's first consider the fact that everyone fails. If we look at the scope of Peter's life as told in the Gospels, we see someone who usually does not seem to be afraid to fail at all. And in fact, if we looked at Peter's life pretty closely, we may begin to wonder if he really loves to fail, or maybe at least loves the taste of sandals in his mouth, because he's always putting his foot in his mouth. He's always kind of doing before thinking. Peter is often getting himself in trouble with Jesus, and he fails again and again. So we know that not only does everybody experience failure, but even giants of the faith like Peter fail, and God still is able to use them for the service of his kingdom. There's another guy who has experienced failure, Billy Graham. I don't know, has anybody ever heard of Billy Graham? Well, if we were to ask you, what is Billy Graham best known for? There's probably a few answers that we'd get to that question, but I would imagine in everybody's top three or four, Billy Graham being a good preacher is probably near the top of the list of the things that we think about Billy Graham. And we know that, at least for this last generation, Billy Graham is probably one of the best known preachers of his time. So there's no way that Billy Graham could have ever failed at preaching, right? Well, the first time that Billy Graham was invited to preach, he wanted to make sure he was ready. So he actually had four sermons ready for that first time that he got to preach. And when he got before those people and was ready to proclaim God's word that day, he was so nervous that he gave them all four sermons that he had ready. Now, that may sound torturous, but part of his nerves meant that he talked really fast. So he gave all four sermons in 10 minutes. Now, Jesus knows your heart, and he knows that some of you just thought, we would love it if our pastors could give one sermon in 10 minutes, let alone four. But can you imagine what would have the world and God's kingdom been like, how things would have been different if Billy Graham would have taken that first experience of failure at preaching and said, that's it, I'm just not cut out for this. This will be the last time that I preach. Everyone fails. But we know that Billy Graham got better at preaching, right? So everyone fails, but failure presents us with an opportunity. And so what will we do with that opportunity? Thomas Edison is almost as famous for what he said about failure as he is for what he ultimately succeeded in inventing. Not only was Thomas Edison fired from his first two jobs for being unproductive, but the light bulb took some 1,000 tries before he finally got it to work. When he was eventually asked about the 1,000 unsuccessful attempts, he replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was invented in 1,000 steps. Edison didn't believe that unsuccessful attempts were failure. Instead, he viewed failure in this way. He said, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. And I think he rightly recognized that failure is when we don't learn from our unsuccess and we give up. So for Peter, we've already mentioned, we see him in the Gospels as failing repeatedly. Some of the ones that quickly come to mind, he sinks as he walks on the water towards Jesus. He scolds Jesus and gets the reply from Jesus, "Get behind me, Satan." He even cuts off some poor guy's ear in his haste in doing before thinking. But in the midst of all of these failures, instead of Peter being the one that Jesus is like, "Will you just get to the back of the line? Let these other 11 guys buffer all of the things that you're doing so we can get about the work of the kingdom." Instead of Peter's failures being something that caused Jesus to push him away, it seems that there's something about who Peter is that almost endears him to Jesus through these failures. And I think there's something about Peter's character and attitude that Jesus knew could eventually be used for greatness in God's kingdom. And Jesus eventually trusts him with the very keys to the kingdom. In addition to messing up, Peter often found himself in a place of privilege around Jesus. Jesus let him near during important events. And so when Jesus is transfigured, we know that Peter is one of the three up on the mountain with him in that day. Sure, Peter stepped into failure a lot from what we see, but he seems to be learning from those experiences as he walks along this journey. I know in my own life, I have learned a lot through failure. Having been married 19 years, there are hopefully many ways that I'm better at being a husband than I was in those early days. And unfortunately, some of that learning came through failure. I've learned to more consistently live the deep love that I have for my wife outwardly as I've better learned where the lines are between directness and hurt, where joking becomes a way to wound as opposed to bringing joy. When I learn how to better temper my bad mood and not to push the person that I need the most away during the tough times. These are all ways that I wish I could just say I intuitively knew how to do this, but it's through the failures in those that I've ultimately learned and grown to be the husband that I am today. I still fail, probably more than I recognize, so you're not allowed to ask Angie when you see her this morning. But hopefully a lot less than I used to. I've learned much in failure in ministry. If I were Thomas Edison, I would probably have the pastoral equivalent of at least two or three light bulbs. But in each of those failures, God has shaped me in his grace, shown me his mercy, and as I continue to grow into the pastor that I know he's made me to be, those failures are ways that God makes me stronger and wiser. Now, as we look to failure and allow it to be something that we can learn from, this is different than just beating ourselves up over the past. In the places where God has helped me to grow from my failure, it's not that I relive those failures again and again and try to ask, well, what could I have done different in that situation? Though they've already happened. So it becomes more about sitting prayerfully with Jesus and saying, all right, Jesus, I've messed this up. How in these next steps? What can I learn from that? How can I be better in a similar situation this next time? That's much different than just looking to the past and being regretful about what we've done. So when we fail, not only is there something to learn in our failure, but we also need to understand that as Christians, part of the message of our faith is that failure is not the end. Now, this sounds great when we're talking to somebody else who needs advice after they failed at something, to be able to encourage them and say, failure's not the end. But when we have failed at something in our own lives, it's something that seems out of reach, something that's much harder for us to get our heads and our hearts around. So not only does everyone fail, but the way that the fear of failure creeps into our lives is when we face that temptation to give up after we failed at something. That's a temptation that we all face from time to time. Michael Jordan is the best basketball player who ever lived. I'm not asking for a poll on that. I'm just stating a fact. Did you know that when Michael Jordan first went out for the varsity basketball team at age 15, he got cut from the team? Did you know that? A Newsweek story about Michael's life from a couple years ago said that he picked up a lot of his motivation that helped him succeed from that event in his life. It says that he picked himself up and he turned the cut into motivation. Michael said, whenever I was working out and I got tired and figured I ought to stop, I'd close my eyes and I would see that list in the locker room without my name on it. That usually got me going again. He was motivated by that failure. But as tempting as it might have been, that failure was not the end of his basketball career. So failure doesn't have to be the end when we experience it, unless we make the choice to stop after we have failed. So again, we've already acknowledged, Peter fails repeatedly throughout the Gospels. And one of the things that Peter seems great at is that he doesn't give up. That is, he doesn't give up until he finally gives up. Peter had often jumped into failure with both feet until the time when he fails so big, even Peter steps back, very likely out of fear of failing the one who is most important to him once again. We tied in some of those specific verses around Peter in the second half of John as we walked with him on this journey. And in John chapter 13, we hear him boldly proclaiming, as he so often is apt to do, Jesus, I will die for you if I have to. And then we know in the verses that follow and in the ways that Peter walks, that not only does he end up denying Jesus once, not twice, but three times. This scares Peter so badly that we finally see him stepping back and maybe even giving up in response to his failure. So I've already mentioned that we didn't look at the fullness of this story, and particularly in John 21, if we were to read all of that, we would know that this meal that happens with Jesus and the disciples happens after the disciples had been out fishing. As John tells it, he had already given the disciples the Holy Spirit and tells them to go out in mission. And yet Peter, in response to the failure that he experienced, does not embrace that power, does not go out in mission, but instead decides he'll go back to what he's comfortable with. Isn't that what we so often do? When we experience failure and we fear that we will fail again, particularly when it has to do with something significant in our lives, we go back to what we are comfortable with. So Peter had gone back to fishing. Forget the last few years of walking with Jesus. Peter knew fishing. And when things got tough, when the failure of denying Jesus in Jesus' great hour of need continued to be too much for Peter to bear, Peter goes back to what he was comfortable with. He went fishing. But thanks be to God, Jesus did not want to lose Peter, so he comes to him. Jesus does not want to lose any of us. And so as we walk through times of failure, whether that's in our professional life, in our personal lives, in our families, in other relationships, when we experience failure, Jesus does not want to lose us. So he comes close to us as we wrestle with failure. I promise that no matter how big the failure, Jesus is with you. Jesus is our safety net. So yes, we will all fail. But we don't need to make the choice to let failure be the end because we have Jesus. Jesus is always with us. When the fear of failure has us thinking about giving up, the fear of failure will likely do for us what it did for Peter. It will have us looking for something that we are more comfortable with. And many times it will invite us to give up on what God is calling us forward to do. Jesus did not pick Peter because he messed up less than the other disciples. If we think always getting it right is the precondition that God needs to use us in this world, look at Peter. He wasn't chosen because he got it right the most. Jesus picks Peter to lead the early church because there was a call that God had on Peter's life. And it was his God-given potential that Jesus saw in him. And it's God's given potential and call on your life that God sees. And so when Peter promises to follow Jesus to the death and then denies even knowing him, Peter fails at a level with far more on the line than any of us will ever have to face in our own lives. And Peter seems ready to be done. I don't think Peter is quitting on Jesus as he goes back to fishing that day as much as he's quitting on himself. He goes back to what he is comfortable with because he fears failing the one he loved more than anything. Once again, but Jesus is his safety net and comes to restore him. As Pastor Dave prayed with us, this is how God reacts to our failures, not by pushing us away, but by restoring us, by his mercy and his grace building into our failure, making us better than we were beforehand if we'd let the safety net, who is our Jesus, catch us. So when you find yourself in the midst of failure, gripped by the fear that you may fail again, Jesus is your safety net. He will not let you go. We are in the midst of Lent. We're preparing our hearts for the Easter celebration. We remember through Holy Week, in Good Friday, in that time that comes before, between Friday and the resurrection on Sunday, that within that time there is a moment when all of hell is celebrating victory over God's purpose in the world. When they believed in that moment that Jesus was defeated, Jesus would not quit. Not only in the mission that he had, but he wouldn't quit in that moment because he knew that each of our eternities hung on what he was about to do. And Jesus would not quit. And he defeats hell. He defeats death. He would not give up on you as death and hell held him close, and he will not give up on you when it feels like hell and death in your failure holds you tighter than Jesus. That is not the reality. Your failure will never hold you tighter than what Jesus can. Jesus is your safety net. He will always hold you tighter than your failure. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians in chapter 6 talks about the way that failure is never the end unless we let it. Talks about the way that God's victory works through our moments of defeat. And when we cling to God's mercy and let His grace build us back up, that there is fruit in the work that God has given us. And so because of that, Paul offers this encouragement. And I close us with Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Jesus will never give up on you. So why would you give up on you? Hold to Jesus and find the courage to face the fear, even the fear of failure. He is with you.